Yes, I did it right. Okay. As I said before, I'm Kelly Stevens, and I'm with the Center for Emergency Preparedness, and I'm the liaison for the government sector. And I'm going to do a roll call here to make sure that we got everybody that's on the call and anybody that's joined us in the last couple of minutes. In my office with me is Alice Floyd, and she is also the liaison for the first responder sector. And I have Kent Spagner, who is the planning, who is a planner for the CEP. So anybody else want to start? Hello?
Katie Rice.
Don Green, Shelby County.
Kirk Paradise, Huntsville, Madison County.
Kathy Lynch, Auditor's Office.
Sadie Rice, Clay County.
Pam Williams, Area 10.
Henry Batchelor, Alabama EMA.
Great. Good morning. All right. Anybody else?
Kelly, did you hear me? This is Pam.
Pam. Hi, Pam. Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. That means that... Colonel McGinnis is not on our call today. He's our sector leader. And Alicia Reed is our alternate leader, and she's with the EMA and is unable to make the call today unless she's calling in now. Did somebody just join us? Okay. Well, I'll go through the agenda, welcoming all of you to the call. We're really happy that we have a few new people joining our sector call this morning. One of our attempts from our last meeting was to increase our attendance on these calls and get some folks interested in working in the government sector. So welcome all of you new folks to the sector calls. We don't have to approve any minutes from last meeting because we've posted all the meeting minutes in the archives in the share listserv, and last month we did not have a call because we had a functional exercise that day that we went ahead and canceled the call in place of that exercise. For old business, the one item remains that we would like each member to invite a participant to the next call, and as I said, we have a few new people on here, so hopefully our attendance will keep increasing as we work through our government sector plans. So I'm just going to continue to keep that on as old business, and really we just encourage you to keep talking to our government agencies and invite someone from each agency to come on into the sector and start working on our pandemic influenza plans and all hazard planning. For new business, since we didn't have a meeting last month, we're going to ask for agency updates from all of you. And for you new folks in the sector, what we're interested in is specifically the work that your agency is doing to help with COOP planning, continuity of operations for your agency, and how you're educating your own staff and thinking about how you plan to work during a pandemic to be able to serve your clients, and any other activities that are pertinent to pandemic influenza planning, but also if you have any all hazards exercises or anything going on that you would like to share with our sector. So I can start with the Alabama Department of Public Health, and the updates that I'm going to give you are since June, and again you can refer to the minutes before that in the share. In June, the CEP sent out a letter with Dr. Williamson's signature on it to the 114 state departments that were not included in our initial letter to the folks that we needed to get the initial operations plans from. And this letter, we asked each department to schedule a meeting with us meaning myself and Cindy Lessinger, our pandemic influenza coordinator, to discuss pandemic influenza and their department's continuity of operations plan. So far, out of these 114 state departments that we contacted since June, we have met with about 10 of them, to include senior services, youth services, state auditors, Department Business Commission, the library, Department of Insurance, the Senate, and we'll meet again with the Senate, and the Department of Conservation. We have scheduled to meet with next week. So these meetings are going very well. I think folks are interested in continuity of operations planning, and some of them have actually got some plans written down on paper and are moving forward with trying to improve them and then test them. For those departments that don't that feel that they can suspend their activities during a pandemic influenza outbreak during a wave of several weeks, we've informed them of the personnel department, state personnel department's plan to utilize state employees in other essential roles, and so they're including those in their COOP planning. In July, last month on the 19th, which I actually was a presenter, we had a 90-minute satellite broadcast, pandemic influenza information for first responders, and it was called The Basics. It was very well attended. We had Cindy Lessinger speaking about pandemic influenza. I spoke about continuity of operations. We had John Weibel speaking about the legal aspects of quarantine and isolation and that sort of thing. Dr. Williamson welcomed everyone, and this satellite broadcast was viewed by over 600 people in Alabama and over 7,500 people registered to view it across the country. And it included all 50 states, and then also our 51st state, Puerto Rico, and then also the Virgin Islands. So we had tremendous participation in this broadcast. And it is available on our website with the link to our archived broadcasts. A week following that broadcast, the CEP, the Center for Emergency Preparedness, we hosted a pandemic medical surge functional exercise. We utilized CEP staff, central office staff, and area staff, NRICS, and we set up a medical station and a point of dispensing specific for pandemic influenza antivirals. So it was a little bit different than our SNS pods that we traditionally set up and test. We practiced some social distancing. We had marks down on the floor, keeping people 6 feet away. We had masks for everybody. We did some car triage. We used some of our finest Alabama prisoners as patients, and they participated. They were given a script, and we learned a lot from it. We plan to do a repeat of this functional exercise in the future. We for the medical station, it was an alternate care site, and this was sort of a site that people who were not sick enough to be admitted to the hospital but couldn't be taken care of at home. Either they didn't have anybody to take care of them, or maybe they were traveling through and didn't have a home to go to. The alternate care site was used to divert those folks into a place where they could get some supportive care, such as IVs and blankets and pain medication, ibuprofen, and that sort of thing. During July, we put a bid out and received the bid to purchase 80 portable ventilators, and we're using state Homeland Security funds. These 80 ventilators will be distributed to the hospitals for use now during the upcoming influenza season, and these hospitals have agreed to rotate and monitor and service the ventilators. The types of ventilators for the specs were put through our healthcare sector, one of the subcommittees to pick out the ventilators or the specs for them so that we got the right type. And again, the bid has gone through, and these will be delivered to the hospital. The hospitals will service and train the staff on their use. And the healthcare sector is also drafting a ventilator triage now for use of these ventilators during a pandemic. And it's still in draft form. They're working through the subcommittee and inviting hospitals, providers, lots of different medical folks to the table to put this vent triage together. In June and July, the CEP helped host three emergency medical service conferences with our EMS group, and Alex could probably speak a little bit more to that, as well as what they accomplished, they were well attended and that sort of thing. And then we also had personnel at four volunteer symposiums across the state. These were very well attended, and our volunteer list is growing to include nurses, pharmacists, social workers, but also we're moving towards the need for volunteers in sort of non-medical roles such as drivers, people that are just interested in being able to help with supportive care that don't have a medical background, that sort of thing. And in August, last Wednesday, our Alabama Department of Public Health's clinical lab, our epidemiology division, and our Center for Emergency Preparedness conducted a joint conference, and it was titled Pandemic Influenza, Rapid Response Required. This conference had over 300 and nearly 350 people sign up to attend the conference, and on the day of the conference we had right at 300 attendees, so it was extremely well attended, and we got to a lot of people that hadn't been able to talk to in masses yet, the lab people and the ICs from hospitals, for instance. We had an intern working over the summer here in CEP. She worked on several different projects, one project specific to pandemic influenza planning. She created a game, and this game will be used for school children, and it's an all-hazards game. It includes pandemic influenza, though. Because of the way that this game was created, and we tested it on several families, we're going to be able to use it in a family situation as well, not just for elementary school age children. And it's right now with our graphic artists getting the final touches on it. It will be available through our ADPH Center for Emergency Preparedness and on our website and that sort of thing. The other thing that our intern worked on was reviewing all 67 county PI 72 element templates that our area teams are working on to try and get a feel of what was in progress, what hadn't been started yet, and what was completed. And we will be meeting with the areas in September to do a work group to go over those findings and figure out how to progress. Okay? So that's ADPHs. Let's see. Kirk, are you still on the call? Kirk had to leave. He had emailed me a couple of things that they were working on. Kirk Paradise is with the Huntsville area EMA, Huntsville-Madison County EMA. He sent me a couple of items because he did need to leave for another meeting. The first is the Medical Reserve Corps. They have asked for an extension of the 07 contract. And their medical society is very interested in sponsoring a Medical Reserve Corps chapter in their area. They have already met with them on August 21st, and they have another meeting on August 30th. And they're doing a recruiting workshop on October, on either the 21st or the 28th. NDMS, Ed Mays had left last year, and progress stopped for a while. One hospital has changed ownership and has a new administrator, but they will begin again meeting in September, and Rosemary Blackmon and the new VA representative, Ken Wheeler, will meet with them on September 5th. So let me just look at my list here of people on the call. Stanley Batchelor, do you want to... introduce yourself and in your brief stint as the new liaison to CEP, kind of tell us what you're up to in your area.
Okay, I'm Stanley Batchelor. For the last 2.5 years, I've been the natural hazards hurricane planner, hurricane program manager, and recently transferred over and taken Kyle Eskridge's place. My background is I'm a paramedic and a registered nurse, about 30 years of emergency medical critical care and transport and disaster medical response stuff. I built the DMAT team in Atlanta and helped develop the national DMAT system through NDMS in Rockville, Maryland. But I've been in this position here a couple weeks and just trying to learn the ropes of what's been going on. We did our COOP plan and still got to upgrade the pandemic influence of it. Got some things looking at there. And we're trying to get the COOP plans for all the state agencies, players in the Emergency Operations Center here. Leads and supports. We need a COOP plan for their agency here, and I think Frank McCrory's working on that. And once we get that done and a couple other little things, we'll have our state certified as an emergency prepared state. And that's something they've been working on for a while. That's about it. I'm just trying to get my feet on the ground and just say hello to everybody.
Great. Thank you, Stanley. Kathy Lynch with the State Auditor's Office?
Yes. They haven't had a chance to since last time we met. One question that I had, are all the agencies' COOP plans going to be out there on this share drive? Since I'm kind of new to this, make sure I've covered everything and not missed some.
We have some background music going on there, but Kathy, the share is a listserv, so what we archive are the email traffic back and forth, and certainly we do post general information coming from the CDC, from Skatefest, and that sort of thing, but it wouldn't be where we would post agency plan. we have a secure site that we would post information that needed to be kept secure, maybe somebody's, you know, the contact phone numbers and that sort of thing. And then with the PI COOP plan, the operational plan, we do have those posted on our HPH website. So eventually, you know, what we have right now are the plans that are that includes the public health COOP plan as it was at that point, and the state agencies that we spoke to that had to have a part in writing pieces of the plan, and that is on the website now.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to add, Kathy?
No, not at this time.
Okay, thank you. Betty Rice with Clay County?
I'm new with this, so I really don't know at this point, you know, what we have done and what we have not.
What is your position with Clay County?
I'm a child support clerical worker.
Okay. I'm taking notes. If when you go back to your agency, you can find out who is responsible for COOP planning, for pandemic influenza planning, and invite them in on our next call and invite them to call Cindy or myself to come and talk to y'all. Okay?
Fine. Thank you.
Yep. And Don Green? Don, did you stay with the call?
Yes, I have nothing to add. I enjoyed it, but I have nothing to add.
Could you tell me what agency you're with, please?
Emergency Management, Shepherd County Emergency Management.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And then Pam Williams. Pam is our PI coordinator for Area 10, and Pam, you've been doing tons of stuff, so this ought to be interesting for all of us listening. Pam?
Hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Well, we've been coordinating committee meetings in every county. We send letters to invite to the government sector, local mayors, commissions are responsive and some aren't so, but as long as we get the word out to a few and then it does spread. What I'm trying to do is all leaders and businesses all the different entities will bring to the table their plans that they have now so that we can compile them into some county plans and begin working on
I apologize for that music in the background. I don't know if y'all are getting it, but I don't know where it's coming from. Pam, can you
you hear anything I said?
Yes, I got it all the way up to the point where you were talking about compiling the county plans.
Yes, and so right there, we're, you know, that's going to interest to bring their plans to the table so that we can look at what each other are doing and be better prepared as a county. But there's just a lot in our county.
Thanks, Pam. Did anybody else join us in the call since the beginning that I didn't hear from and would like to add anything for the update? Thank you all. The next piece of business is that I put on the agenda is a government sector plan, and I actually got this idea from Alice Floyd and her first responder sector. What I wanted to propose to you all is to think for next meeting, for next conference call, what we want to accomplish in our sector, and I will email the sector plan sheet that Alice created. Pardon? Okay, Alice is going to put it out on share. They're updating one section, but what it starts with, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, it's pandemic flu, first responder sector plan, so ours would be the government sector plan, and their mission is to develop a uniform approach for preparing all first responders to a pandemic influenza. And what I would assume our mission would be, and I'd have to go back to our notes from our first advisory council, but we came up with about three different priorities that we needed to concentrate on: government continuity of operations, infrastructure, and that sort of thing. So we could think of our mission. The first responder sector plan gives a definition of first responder. The term first responder has been applied to the first individual, regardless of the individual's type of credential, that arrives at the scene of an incident where another person needs assistance. Usually the first responders include but are not limited to firefighters, EMTs, and law enforcement officers. So our government sector, we include public health representatives and EMA representatives and government agency representatives, and we could include who's on our sector and who we would like to invite to the table. And as far as members, you know, public health, EMA, for first responders, they have public safety, ag and industry, dispatchers, fire and rescue, and EMS. And then they identified their leaders and their, and if they have any subsectors. We haven't had to have any subsectors because our membership is a little small here. But then they have a plan, and they have two phases to the plan. The first phase is the core educational plan, which all of us have been asked to start with, meaning educate our own agencies, staff, and all of our employees on pandemic influenza and soup planning. And then the second phase, they're revising their second phase, Alice just told me. But we could kind of model our plan in this manner. So if you can give me some feedback now, I'd appreciate it. If you just want to mull this over and look for the share document to go through so that we can talk about it next time. Anybody have any thoughts on that? I would like to just have a sort of a map because sometimes we feel like we're a little bit blinded here. We don't know what direction to go to, and we don't want these conference calls to just be all updates. We want to start working towards having a real continuity of operations plan for all of our government agencies and how we'll serve our clients. So in that vein, just please look out for that document. And if I can just take a few moments to go back through who was on the call here so that I can update our sector membership. Stanley, I do have all of your information as far as email. Kathy, I believe you gave Cindy or I a card on you when we met. Is that the case, Kathy Lynch?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And Kirk, I have his information. Pam, I have hers. So Betty and Don, Betty, could you give me, you know, do you have an email that I can include?
Yes, it's Betty Rice at dhralabama.gov.
And is it BETTYRICE?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. And then Don Green?
Yes, it's D Green with an E at ShelbyAL.com. ShelbyAL, one word.
Okay. Just want to make sure I get you on our list. And that's D-D-R-E-E-N-E. Okay. And I think that's it for today. Typically, Colonel McGinnis is able to join us, and he has a lot of strong ideas and is a good leader for our sector. Since he is military, he doesn't always make it to our conference calls. And Alicia Reed, again, I didn't get an email as to why she wasn't able to make it, but typically she does make these calls as well and adds a lot more to the calls. So I appreciate you all putting up with me here as the moderator. At this time, I'd like to know if there's any other topics of interest or something that you want me to put on the agenda for next time that we can kind of review or give some action to in the meantime. Anybody?
One of the things that we've done, this is Alex Floyd, and one of the things that we've done in the first responder group is what we've tried to do is to get the information out to first responders, and we really were kind of slow getting started. One of the things that we did on our last call this time helped, and that was to let this sector know if you know of any upcoming organizations at the state level, any meetings that you want to go into. Time of the year where a lot of organizations have state meetings, and we have begged and kind of pushed our way into some of these meetings to be able to get pandemic people on the agenda, and public health is, you know, willing to help get in those doors. If we just know about those particular meetings that's coming up, we will find if we can get some contact information, we'll contact them and see if we can get on the agenda. So that's just something from the first responder. Since our last conference call, we were able to get to, at this point, three state-level meetings that will be going on in September, October, and November, so that we can get that PI and keep information out to those that hopefully will be able to distribute that information onto their membership. So if you know of that type of meeting, even if you don't want to wait till the next conference call, if you could let Kelly or Cindy know, that information will be greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Alice. I appreciate that. Okay, anything else? All right. The next call is scheduled for September 25th, and it will be at 10 a.m. And I'm going to go ahead and type up our minutes and send them out to the group that attended today and also the group that we had initially. And then I'll also post those minutes to share for the archives. After we review them and make sure that there aren't any corrections or additions that are needed. And I really appreciate you all participating today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, take care.